Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, January 7th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Brad Moffitt. After Brad reads, he and I will take some time to sit down and talk about things of life and faith. Thank you, Brad, for joining the podcast today.
Good morning, Mary. Thank you for having me today. Our first reading this morning is from Genesis 6. This is the New International Version, Wickedness in the World. When human beings began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with humans forever. For they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, "I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I have made them." But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, "I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark 2 of all living creatures, male and female, and keep them alive with you, 2 of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, and every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come with you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them." Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Now let's move ahead to Psalm 33, verses 1 through 12. "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all of the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be, He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. Now we're going to read Mark 3, verses 13 through 35. Jesus appoints the 12. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul. By the prince of demons he is driving out demons." So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying, "He has an impure spirit." Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother."
Thank you, Brad, for joining the podcast today. I want to hear a little bit about you and your family.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here today, Mary. Happy New Year to you. For those that I have not met, I'm Brad Moffitt. I'm married to Kelly. And Kelly and I have three children, Amelia, Ford, and Adele. Amelia is 20 years old. She is a student at Clemson University in South Carolina. Ford is a junior in high school, and Adele is in the seventh grade at the junior high. We live about 100 yards from the church, and we've been members of Mountain Brook Baptist Church for 10 years or so, plus or minus.
Tell me a little bit about that. How did you come to Mountain Brook Baptist?
We came to Mountain Brook Baptist. We had several friends that were members of the congregation here. So we happened to visit at the time. We met your husband, Wayne. We met actually Dr. Dortch. It was very early in Dr. Dortch's senior ministry here. And we just fell in love with Mountain Brook Baptist and the youth program and our Sunday school class. So
that's awesome. We're so glad that you're a part of the fellowship. I'm curious, did you grow up in Birmingham?
I did not grow up in Birmingham. I grew up right outside of Washington, D.C., in Fairfax, Virginia. My wife is actually from here, so I tell people that I'm married into Birmingham. But Kelly actually grew up here. Kelly and I actually met in Atlanta. We both lived there in the early to mid-90s. Interestingly enough, I actually met her the first day that I was in Atlanta. I'd driven from Richmond, Virginia to Atlanta to start a job the next week. And we actually met at a Super Bowl party, and we met through some mutual friends. And then probably about a month later, we saw each other again and, you know, started to date, I guess, at that point.
Now, what took you to Atlanta? Was it your profession?
So, yes, I was in a sales career over there. I used to sell industrial equipment, and I took a job that took me to Atlanta. But as our relationship evolved, as we, you know, we're getting a little bit older, we kind of realized that a city of Atlanta wasn't the ideal setup for what we wanted for our family. And we wanted something smaller. It was just, you know, too big of a city probably for us. So we started looking at different opportunities in the South. We wanted to stay in the Southeast, but we're looking at different places. And I don't think at that point Kelly really contemplated coming back to Birmingham. But I actually had an opportunity through another job to move to Birmingham. And so we actually, it just kind of fell into place, and we ended up moving back. So,
and do you still work in sales, or what do you do now?
So now I work in sales still in the commercial real estate industry. So I sell and lease industrial property primarily.
Tell me a little bit about some of your hobbies and interests.
We're still in the stage of life where our kids are super active and they play different sports. My son plays, Ford plays baseball, and Adele plays volleyball and basketball. So during the school year, that, and actually in the summer, that that takes a good bit of our time. But I love that. Love going to youth sporting events, and I enjoy playing golf, and I love college football.
So I know that you're involved in your children's sports, but I'm wondering, did you grow up playing sports?
I did. I love every kind of sport. I just love competition, I think, is probably the root cause of that. But I did. I grew up playing. I played soccer as a little kid in football, and then eventually played lacrosse. That was the sport I played in high school and very briefly in college.
Wow.
Club level.
What is your favorite sport to watch?
So I love watching my kids play whatever they're passionate about, whether it's sports or something else. I enjoy that probably the most. I'm a huge college football fan, and then I also enjoy watching baseball, believe it or not.
Okay.
Atlanta Braves.
Oh, you're a Braves fan. All right, well, let's talk about football though. College football, who do you root for?
So I went to Clemson University in South Carolina.
Now, this is difficult
now,
for
Mary,
me.
Mary is cringing over here because she likes our rival. I've learned to forgive her and Wayne.
Oh, thank you. I know Wayne brings it up a lot in sermons. Have you noticed that over the years?
He does. He does.
Anyway, okay, so you went to Clemson, and tell me about that experience.
That was great. It was, you know, I visited there. Actually, there's a roundabout story on how I got to Clemson. I actually got waitlisted at a school in the Northeast. It was an engineering school. So my dad took me on a tour of schools in the South. I said, let's go look at engineering schools in the South. And we went, picked the university, and we probably stopped by there. But we happened to go to Clemson on a Saturday in the fall.
Oh, wow. Did you catch a game?
Well, we didn't go to the game because we weren't prepared. But I saw what the environment was, and I was like, this is what college is supposed to look like. So I was hooked. So then I was in, and when I went to Clemson, I didn't know a single soul the day I got there.
Now, Amelia is at Clemson now. Tell me about that process, and has it been fun for you to go back and be there?
It has been, and that's an interesting story because we lived in Atlanta, and Kelly and I would go back some, you know, for a game or two here and there. But once we moved to Birmingham, it wasn't as convenient to get there. It's 4.5 hours from Birmingham. So we didn't grow up as a family. Our kids didn't grow up going over there. I mean, their dad watched Clemson play sports, but other than that, they didn't really have a connection to Clemson. And probably about the seventh grade, Amelia started talking about where she wanted to go to school and what she wanted to study. And she started talking about Clemson like way back. And, you know, we didn't really think much of it. We just thought that, you know, that'll kind of wash itself out. But sure enough, she kind of just stayed with it, wanted to go there. And I mean, she applied several places, but deep down that was where she wanted to go. And she's had a great experience so far. She loves it.
And what is she studying?
She is a nursing major. She's through with her first semester of her sophomore year. So she'll be a second semester sophomore.
I want to know about your journey with the Lord. Tell me about either how you came to faith or how you have developed in your faith over time.
Yeah, I would definitely describe that as a journey as well. I'm fortunate enough that I grew up in a church. You know, my parents were committed to us being involved in our local family church in Fairfax, Virginia. And, you know, that was in an area, you know, looking back on it, that's in an area that is becoming more and more secular. You know, going to church and being involved in the church is not as maybe cultural as it is in Alabama or in the South. But they were committed to us going to church. So we were involved early on in worship, Sunday school, youth group, all that type of stuff. So had great modeling early on. And I think that's probably deep down, that's probably where my attraction to living in the South is just having that kind of foundation and kind of wanting to be plugged in to a Christian community, which we found here at Mountain Brook Baptist.
As you think about your faith, is there any meaningful service or experience that sticks out to you?
So I've been a believer as long as I can remember. In the church that I grew up in, we had confirmation about the age 12, 13, somewhere in there. But when we joined Mountain Brook Baptist Church, Dr. Dorch actually asked me if I would consider, and I hadn't really thought much about it because I was a believer, but he asked me if I would consider taking part in a believer's baptism. And again, it was an idea I hadn't really contemplated because I already believed in our Lord and Savior, but I got to thinking about it and I was like, absolutely, I'll do that. What a great way to rededicate yourself. So I was actually baptized in believer's baptism in the baptismal pool in the sanctuary. So, and then since then, my children have been baptized there as well.
Is there someone in your life that you have looked up to in the faith or someone that really sticks out as a person that you admire?
There have been several, and most of them have been family related, and I think I've taken different aspects from different people. Probably my father's just commitment to the church. He would always, you know, he was kind of a behind the scenes. He wasn't an out front type person, but he was an usher every week, and he was, you know, was on the finance committee and kind of the back of the operation, but, you know, just dedicated a lot of hours and spent a lot of time at the church. So I got to see that aspect. My mother was involved in like the altar guild and, you know, various communities within the church. And then I've been blessed. Kelly's parents are both members. They're both members of this church now. They weren't when we first moved here, but they're very grounded. You know, I couldn't ask for better in-laws than Charlie and Carolyn. Since we've lived in the South and I've been as far away from my parents as I have been, they've kind of filled that role for me.
Thank you so much, Brad, for joining us today. It would be a great privilege for us if you would end our time together with prayer.
Thank you, Mary. And thank you for the opportunity, Lord, for us to be together this morning, just to be in your word. And we appreciate all the opportunities and the blessings that you provide for us in this life. We are so blessed in so many ways, and just thankful and grateful for your love for us and what you did for us through your son, Jesus. In your name we pray.